good morning, church. Okay. So I'll continue from where I stopped. So I said, like any sensible organization will do, we are in the 11th month of the year. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
We will be taking stock of the year together, and we'll be making future projections for what we'll do going forward, 2021 and beyond. And to do this today, we have knowledgeable, seasoned and vibrant people that will be sharing with us survival strategies for an economic downturn. So a round of applause for everybody that has come here today to share with us these strategies. And I believe that as we continue in this session, that our eyes will be open to understanding wisdom from God and not just from men, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So please, I'd like you to share with us how, you know, today's session is going down.
Today we have with us Brother Deji Johnson, Pastor Deji Johnson Adafin. We have Brother Ni Oshibemeku and Brother Femi Akerewusi. They will each be giving presentations of about 10 to 12 minutes, and we'll have a panel session where everyone from the audience will be invited to ask questions based on your situation. So you are supposed to ask questions after the presentations. The protocol for asking questions would be you'd write your questions on a piece of paper and pass it to the usher, and we'll read out the questions from here. So first to start, we'd like to invite Brother Ni Oshibemeku to the altar. Thank you, sir. And we'll be inviting Pastor Deji Johnson Adafin to give his presentation. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. All right. I think to the center. Praise God. It's a great privilege to be here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't talk much because of time. All right. Basically, in the month of March, I was on a straight line, then suddenly I found out that I was in a slope. And at the end of the day, I find out that it wasn't only me. Everybody in the world were in the same slope. I had planned my year, how it was going to go, but somehow I found myself in the middle of a decision that I didn't decide, but I have to flow with that decision. Then that changed my orientation, and every one of us know what I'm talking about. So the question is, how do we handle situations like what we are going through presently? I think I need to be guided. Can you just change it to the time I'm supposed to use? You know, I talk, so I'm seeing for something before I think. Please, can you just change the time to the time I'm supposed to speak so that I can be guided? So let me just go straight into what I have. Now, if I may ask you, how have you been living? Most people will say we've not been living, we've been coping. You understand? Because somehow the challenges are very, very obvious. Now, can I have the next slide, please? In this situation, I've learned one thing. One thing I've learned is that when life happens to you, happen to life. Look at somebody and say, when life happens to you, happen to life. I've learned how to thank God for some of us who are been in such situations before, because I didn't grow up as butter in quotes. That situations that things changed for us. I grew up as butter. You know, my dad worked in a bank. Then suddenly, I don't know, the wind that blew, I found out that we were living in a very big house. Then suddenly everything changed. We have to live in Boys Quarters, 5 Aino Street here. Some of you might know. If you are going through Ogunbadejo, the house you'll be looking at, that was the house we lived. That was when we joined Foursquare. So we had to live in the house. We had to share toilets with everybody. We had to live in a civilian barrack, sort of. And all our phone changed to, you understand? So we grew up like that. In a way, I've learned how to live and balance life. But for this year, one thing I have learned, and I will just share that straight up, is to be. Everybody say be. Now, be in the sense that if you are going to be very, very successful in the times that we are, the first thing that you have to be, can I have the next slide, please? The next two slides, please. The next two slides. The first thing is to be aware. Be aware. A lot of people were saying something when COVID came. A lot of people were denying the fact. They were telling themselves that it's not true until he caught up with them. One thing I've learned in life is that once I hear about anything, I try to find out about it. A lot of people were caught because they didn't know much as they ought to know about the situation. And so they were all, you know, it was like a wave, blown up by the wave. Now, the first thing you want to do is to be aware. Now, the scripture says that we should not be ignorant of what? The devices of the devil. Praise God. So, as much as get, how much do you know about this situation? Why do you need to be aware? You need to be aware because once you know the enemy you are fighting, then you know the kind of weapon you will use. Am I talking to somebody today? Now, the second thing I would like to share with us, I wrote some things here that are not on the slide because of time. Okay, I have just 6 minutes. Wow, I have to just jump. All right, now, the next thing I think you should know is to be equipped. Because once you know the enemy you are fighting, then you should equip yourself with the necessary tools that you would need to fight. You need to know the enemy you are fighting because you don't fight every enemy with the same weapon. For example, COVID was an enemy most people, almost all of us in this generation, had not experienced before. And up till now, they are still fighting it. So you have to be equipped. Now, the next thing is to be intentional. Now, this is very paramount. Be intentional because lots of information are flying around. And you have to decide which of the information that you are going to use to your own advantage. Talking about this as a businessman, how did this affect me? It affected me such that I had already started a business that I got a loan for. And I started in March. My plans were out. I knew I was going to pay off the loan. There were contracts with some big companies that I had gotten, and already they've signed that I should do the job. So it's just, I know that this one. But March came, and everybody, I'm into printing and multimedia, and everybody started saying, no, we can't do this work now, we can't do this. So thank God I did not even start some of the job, or else I would have been in much more bigger problems. So I had loan that I thought I was going to pay. But funny, I was glad because that taught me some new strategy. So I chose the information I needed to hear. I choose not to be afraid, and I choose to be intentional. This has come. I have to face it. Now, the next slide, please. Be smart. A lot of Christians are not smart. That's why Jesus said that the children of the world, how did the scripture put it, are wiser. Now, be smart because you need to know that every problem has in it an opportunity. Okay, let me quickly slip and say something. Mr. Oshibemekun, thank you very much, sir. You may not know, 2012, after I served in the north, and I also was a missionary, you know I'm a pastor. So after being a missionary, I came back to Lagos, and I came for a youth meeting in Jebako. They were doing that since church. And you were the one that was anchoring that. And you mentioned something that there are four major streams of income that one should have. I don't know, you might have forgotten. That you should have an income that comes daily, an income that comes yearly, the one that comes quarterly, and I think I've forgotten the fourth one. And you know, after that meeting, all my business strategy, everything guided me. You know why? In this period, things have changed, and you have to be smart about it. Do you know, while everybody were crying that there is no money, some people were rejoicing. Amazon made the most money this period. Zoom increased their money they were making. Churches that were smart, they've started online meetings before, man, they still kept their members. Let me tell you, there are a lot of churches now that have resumed and their members did not come back. Why? They were not smart enough to have gone online before all these things. I was glad when I was here, because I also follow Jebako. I saw it already. I just saw it in my mail. Jebako Foursquare is on Mixer Lab. That is smartness. Because I thought many people will stop. Now, that is alerting me that you're already online. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of churches, a lot of people had to be calling me, Bro DG, how do you do it? I need to see your stuff online. And I had to start teaching them. Let me just move fast. Then the next thing I want to say is that be creative. Be creative. Now, when this challenge started, business has changed. How did I, what did I do personally? Now, this will help you. In this period, it is either you start a new business, or you are offering your services and your goods and services. You are offering your services in a new way. Because there are some businesses that are not thriving for now. And if you want to launch them, you may find yourself at the back and be praying. And really, it's not about prayer. It's not demon. It's just that at this moment, this business is not thriving. So it's either you ask yourself, how do I meet people's need? Let me tell you, every time is a time to make money and to make life. Now, be creative also as a family man. You have to understand that the challenges that are here for you and your family has changed. So this is a time family needs to talk and unite. Then you should also understand that this is a time that there are a lot of psychological challenges. So it will help you to know how to manage it when your husband is angry unnecessarily. You will know it's not out of hatred, it's out of Kosovo. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to be creative in how we approach ourselves and creative in how we talk. A lot of people are downtrodden already. So how you talk will matter. But if you don't know all these things, it will be challenged. Then lastly, I want to ask you a question. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Every time you read in the scripture, in the book of Exodus, when Moses got to the sea and the Egyptians were coming, God asked him, he said, what do you have in what? Your hand. The widow of Zarephath, what did Elijah ask her? What do you have in your hand? When Jesus was to feed the 5,000, what did he ask the? Most of the problems we are looking for solutions to, the solutions is not with God. The solution is with us. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you are writing something. If you are not, sorry. Don't be behind. Instead, be creative. This is the time to start. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. All right. I'd like to quickly bring in the second speaker, so that we can fast track our move. He's a politician, but again, I know he's an accountant, a chartered one for that matter. So please permit me to introduce to us the next speaker, our brother Niyi Oshibemekun.
Thank you very much. I think I will need that table. Please, I think I will need the. Is it? Ah, not for you. Ogamisa. No. Please. That is my in-law.
I told you. That is meant for young men.
Is it okay?
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank the church for giving this opportunity to speak to our people. And I want to thank my wife, who has always been there when I have this critical moment to speak to people about life. The last time we were together to face this kind of large gathering was in Yaba Tech when they had their 70th anniversary. And at that gathering, you can imagine where you are in a gathering of professors, head of departments, lecturers of every level, and I give you a topic to speak on. So technically, they are asking you to come and teach them what they taught you. So it's like defending a project. And to make things interesting, they told you they didn't want you to teach them what they taught you. They want you to teach them what you know that they don't know. You know, it's an Herculean task. But that day, we took the challenge. And by the time we were done, I think everybody in the hall, it was actually a national theater, and everybody was really, really blessed. Today, I'm sitting beside you, or in front of you, standing to speak on how to survive in this our period. Yeah. This period did not just come overnight. Sometimes things like this happen. Sometimes you have opportunity to prepare for it. Sometimes you simply don't have opportunity to prepare for it. But there's something that everybody must know in life. There's never any situation in life that is constant. The situation always changes. Nigeria's situation started not because COVID came, but it started because we started a period of recession. A period where there were so many good services, but there was no money to go around. Depression. When COVID came, it became so bad that we actually got into depression. Depression, I would say, is a state where there's no money, and unfortunately, there are no longer services and goods to deal with. So now we are in a situation where it's so terrible that it's only the people who have cash that can talk. People who have money that can really, really move around or do things. Cash became the king of the, and became the order of the day. So when the pastor sent me a message saying that Jakar, you are going to talk on strategies to survive during this period, I said no problem, because I will always oblige him. He's my father and a very dear person to me. And I also acknowledge my professor, the very smart reverend. Today, now let's talk. God was able to tell Pharaoh that there was going to be a problem in a dream that he did not understand. But because there was a Joseph that God has blessed to understand that what God is telling you, Pharaoh, is giving an advance notice that very soon there's going to be a famine where all things will be difficult. So that are situations where you know in advance. And there are some situations you don't even know in advance. It just comes, boom. And what we do naturally, and what I've always advised people to do naturally, is always to prepare that period that will always come. It can never be rosy all the time. It can never. I've never seen it where it is rosy January to December. My father, in his days before he died, especially during the rainy season, my father would always go out with an umbrella, even if it's sunny in the morning. Amani Baba Mikelode Tanku umbrella, Ania Ojolero. You must also understand that Ojo Maro, even Bato expected. The Nigerian economy has become like the British weather, where nothing is constant, where things just change. Then you now find yourself in the middle of the nonsense. You're now asking yourself, how do you survive? Now, let's go to how you can survive. Three people are always affected when there's crisis like this. It affects the rich, it affects the not-so-rich. And the rich, it affects the rich with cash. You know, there are three categories of three rich people. They have the rich people with cash. When I talk cash, I'm talking of liquidity. People have money. It affects people, the rich people without cash, but with a lot of assets. And thirdly, it affects the rich that has the cash and the money. I mean, that has the cash and the assets. For those ones, because I'm going to speak to three categories of people today. I'm going to speak to the rich, and I'm going to speak to the needy, and especially I'm going to speak to the youth. The youth are going to be most affected by what I'm going to say. Because for the elderly one, the adults, yes, they might still gain some of these things. Because like I always say, there are certain things in life that you must learn from your youth. You must learn when to start working, and you must learn when to stop working. When you don't learn to stop working, you are going to walk through your life, and that's not fair enough. So it's always good to plan to start working, to plan to stop working. And you cannot stop working unless you have retained so much to take care of your life throughout the remaining days, throughout your old age. So now, let's talk. In this surviving period, or in this bad period, I will encourage all the rich with cash, because I'm going to speak like a capitalist. I'm not going to speak because I am born again. I'm going to speak because we want to survive. The jungle does not know the good animals. It eats everything. So we're going to talk the rich with cash. The rich with cash is that this is an opportunity for them to mop up. Because they have the money. So they mop up. They buy from the rich without cash. Because when the rich without cash, with assets, need money. Everybody, we're doing this period. There's only one thing that survives is cash, money. Whether you are skillful, whether you are talented, when you have a job, it doesn't really matter anymore. It's do you have money? Do you have cash? People knew that during this period, a lot of people that had jobs, they didn't go to work. There was no work to go to. COVID has shut down everybody. Everybody was looking for money to buy to sustain himself. And during this period, the only thing that you need to buy to continue to keep whatever money you have on are purely essentials. Like I told my son, I said, Femi, the very last one, in this family, we will not spend money because we have it. We are going to spend money because we have to. And there's a difference between that. You don't spend money because you have it in critical periods at least. You spend money because you have to spend it. And when you have to spend money, you have to spend it on purely essential things. Things that you actually and truly need, not the things you want. Your vanity level becomes completely zero. And to get all this done without any problem, the first thing I'd advise people during this period is to have a family meeting. Call your wife, call your children and say, look, this is the period. There are some things that we used to do that we will not do during this period. There are some expenses that we used to incur, we will not incur during this period. During this period, there will be no new more clothes. There will be no new clothes. There will be no unnecessary fashion. What we are going to survive on are going to be, we are going to have money, keep money for food, keep money for accommodation, and keep money for medicals. Because you must also plan that during this period, you can't afford to go, to get sick. I had a situation during this period that I had to spend almost 2 million in order to get my family member out of the hospital. And why? Because you always plan for this. When you don't plan for this, then you are going to get so caught that you feel so much embarrassed. That's why right from now, the youth must learn to start planning to increase their income. I'm very happy that you mentioned some of the things I told them. In this period, there are categories of people. There are people who, like you said, people who had intentions to survive. And the first thing in life that you must have intention to survive. You must have the desire to survive. You must have the desire to be rich. It's a resolution. You don't play because it is playing time. You don't do things because it is happening to you. Start happening to things. Start making things happen. Now, what are the things you do? Like I was telling people, I said, during this period, there are people who have foresight on things to do. You need to start identifying. I'm talking to the youths now. There are some youths during this period, they took advantage of. It's a natural excuse for people to find reasons for failure. But there's never any reason to find, for failure. Once you fail, you fail. Forget the reason. The important thing to you is that you must learn to survive. You must learn to pass. You have people outside that are there. They have time. They don't want to use it. They have money. They don't know what to do. You understand? And that's why I always preach the concept of OPM. You must learn to use other people's money. You must learn to use other people's time. You must learn to use other people's skill. These are things that are normal. God is not against it. God has taught us to do businesses. For you that you are in employment, your employer is using your skill. Let me give you a few examples of how to use people's time. I used to have a younger brother, a younger friend. He was in UNILAC. Somehow his brother didn't respond to his school fees. His father died. And he had to continue to go to school. By using people's time, he gathered all the boys in the area that were always playing football. Thomas Sherikiri Adugo. He went to the market, bought a large roll of brown paper, cut it. So I started using the people's boys. The boys' time, when they say she envelope, he will go to school before he comes out, they make dozens and dozens and dozens of envelopes for him. He pays them peanuts, and which the boys are so happy for, and he sells the envelopes. That's how to use people's time. Find people that are idle, engage them. There are 24 hours in a day, you sleep 8 hours normal, you have 16. A lot of people don't know what to do, what they do with the 16. The thing is just there. 10 hours out of the 16, they don't even know what they are doing. Identify people like that and use them. I'm still going to come back to what you can use them for. Then learn to use people's skill. I also have a friend. He's an administrator. He's in the U.S. You know what he did? He went to get a doctor friend, skillful, and opened a hospital. And became the medical director of the hospital. and he's not a doctor. What did he do? He's using somebody else's skill. So there's nothing wrong with when you use people's skill. There's nothing wrong when you use people's time. And there's nothing wrong when you use people's money. And let me tell you, how do you use people's money? There are so many people with money that are so idle. Let me give you the Jackal Ventures experience. How to use other people's money. We were in the market. There were a lot of people that depended on us for loans and advances. And also in the same market, we have the babalajos. A typical babalajo will take your money for 30 days and he will reward you with 29 days because the first day of collection always belongs to him. And people will give money to babalajo agreeing for so many reasons. Number one, they want to have savings. Number two, they want to be sure they can get their money back and all those kind of stuff. They just want to be liquid. So how do we took that money away? We took the money away from the babalajo. And how did we do that? We went back to the same market and said that for every 30 days that you pay, we'll give you back your 30 days. It won't take one day. For every 60 days you keep your money with us, we'll give you 61 days. For every 90 days you keep your money with us, we'll give you 92 days. Who got the money? We. And the same money we're investing in the same market at interest rates. Learn to use people's money. It's idle there. You must learn to wake up every day and think what next to do. Survival is important. Let me quickly go to another one. Now, I have a friend. You know, I always have all these funny friends. During this period, he's a professor in UNILAG. I won't mention his name, for some of you might know him. He has a Jeep. He runs a Jeep. UNILAG professors, lecturers have not been paid for like 3-4 months now. Nobody's getting any salary. And he has to run his Jeep. You know what he did? He just parked his Jeep and bought a bicycle. And he was riding his bicycle everywhere. Professor Kilo Shele, Onishewo to Mavire Kosimotu. I mean, Tom Batifuwe and Rekosimotu. Oh, no, baby boy, you are what? So, the little cash he had, he has to re-strategize. He has to start doing things to make sure that he does not leave the money. I mean, the money does not leave him. So, you must also learn that during this period, you don't spend money because you have to look good or because you want people to think, Olowo near, be whatever. Because Olowo Toba in this crisis period. Omentong Pelowo during the crisis. And it's Toba not 10 naira. Toba pa 10 naira, wole. Or Toba not 10 naira. Toba pa 20 naira, wole. Onong Pelowo. But and Toba not 10 naira. To pa 2 naira, wole. Go Sholowo mo. Because in a matter of time, we will have our doing. Any other person too, so we'll more. So you must learn to be very strategic during this period. Am I making sense to the church? Yeah, my wife and I, we had an argument when I was telling her this one. I said, some of the ways you use other people's money. During this period, except you have a credit that can affect the consequences of your not paying on time, like your mortgage. If you have to run a mortgage and you don't pay on time, you know, there is a possibility that you might lose your house. So when you have such sensitive credit lines, you don't want to betray it because there are consequences for it. But there are some credit lines that there are no consequences. So never be in a hurry to pay back for those things that are no consequences to pay. Because the man who owns the cash is the person who is talking. You understand? Don't be in a hurry to pay people back during this crisis. Except it is an essential thing that you must pay for. Learn to hold on to the money. HTM means hold the money. It is important during the survival period. You must learn HTM. Hold the money. Except when you pay many consequences that are not good. That you might betray, you might bankroll, or you might even lose if you don't pay back. Otherwise, hold the money. Are we together? You know me now. You know when I want to talk, I want to talk. I'm giving you this thing for free. If I'm going somewhere, you know how much money I will take. You better sit down and listen. Thank you. Now, one of the things you do during this period, And I'm doing it right now. If you come to my house, aside from the farm, you always see planting flowers beautifies your house. But if I have any free plot of land or any free space in my house, if you go to my house now, I need a wedu, I need a four, I need banana, I need pawpaw, because we are growing them and we are eating them. For everyone we eat in our house, we don't have to pay anybody money, because you must learn to hold the money. For you to give out the money, there must be so much reasons why you have to give out the money. If the food that you can farm, then farm them. I have a tenant in my house, one of my estates in Port Harcourt. Right behind this, his own flat. When I was doing routine check, I saw one large cage like that. One large box. I was like, what are you doing with this? He said, if you open it, you see snail there. Now I had to manage with my family. Guys, you're rearing snails. In Ijebu, you will see them with a lot of chicken thrown around because they don't have to go and buy the chicken anymore. So learn to do things that will conserve your own money. Things that will even excite you. Watch your chicken grow. Watch your ewedu grow. Watch all these things, because there are strategies for you to survive during this period. Is there any sense in that too? Hello? Then eat well. Because everything that will make you to pay money out, you must prevent it. If you don't eat well, if you fall sick, you are going to go to the hospital and you are going to spend money. So learn to eat well too. It's part of the deal during this period. Eat well. Take a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, and drink a lot of water. And do some exercises too. Then when some youths came to get Baba Kela Manshini period, Munini period, in comment alone, preferently, you have people who must eat, you have people who must live, and you have people who must talk. So if you cannot afford to have a restaurant, you cannot afford to build your houses, you can always afford to make sure that you are selling things that people will buy. And what are the things you sell? Food, medicals. These are the things that people will always patronize you. In our house during the lockdown, the only person to lost his share was your tenant make on kide lonta drugs. Even the government allowed shops that were selling drugs to open. So you must learn to be aware, like the young man was saying, be aware of your environment. What are the needs of your environment? You must always learn. You must be watchful. You must look at things that are happening. Sorry, I'm almost done. I was sitting down gingerly in my house. You called me to come and talk. And you forgot that I'm a politician. And we talk. Then, of course, impulse buying. Murikini, you like it. Stop it during this period. You don't buy things because you like it. Buy things because you truly need them. You understand? Then, of course, it's always good to review all your... For those people who are using prepaid meter, put on your electricity when you actually and truly need it. When you're going out, put it up. There was days that there was no meter. NEPA does not know what they were doing. Whether you put on light, you don't put on light, they will bring bills. But for those of you that have meters, always control your electricity consumption. Control a lot of consumptions around you. Even for those that pay for water, control your consumptions. Some of us, we have boreholes, so we don't need to control water. But for those who pay for water, please control your consumptions. Yeah, for the teenagers, I want to round up with that. The greatest injury you can do to yourself is not to increase your value during this period. Most of you must learn new skills. Use this period to learn new skills. Use this period to renegotiate your friendship with people. Start making friends with people that have the same vision with you. Your age is an age where it defines a lot of things about your life in future. when you don't have friends that sees future as a priority, that don't see tomorrow as a priority. When we have this NSAS something, I was reviewing this with my friends. I said, look, out there are two sets of youths that were out there. We have the youths that saw tomorrow, or that seen a tomorrow. A tomorrow that guarantees a better Nigeria. And out there too, we have youths that don't see a tomorrow. They don't believe in a tomorrow. They are just like the government that we have. Unfortunately, this government that we have today don't see a tomorrow. And because they don't see a tomorrow, that's why they don't plan for tomorrow. Because the youths are tomorrow. When you don't plan for the youth to take over the governance of this country, that means the government itself does not see tomorrow. So these youths don't see tomorrow. They don't care what happens. As far as they are concerned, there is no tomorrow. And that's why the looting, the hoodlums are from the youths who don't see a tomorrow. And I pray by God's grace that your own youth will see a tomorrow. You will plan for a better tomorrow. And God will be with you all. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Amen. If somebody I know, you allow him to speak to tomorrow, he won't call the same something twice. Please appreciate God in his life. All right. I hope you are writing your questions. I'm not going to give microphone to anybody to come here and ask questions. Write your questions, pass them to the ushers. Let them screen the questions. If there are repeated questions, we will not bother to read them over and over. Amen. All right. While preparing for this, I had to challenge my brother. I said, look here, we are all still here. COVID-19 has not carried us away. Praise the Lord Almighty. So it's a privilege to have him around this morning. Please welcome Brother Femi Akerewusi.
Good morning, all. And there's so happy to see all of you again. When Pastor told me that COVID is not killing anybody in the church, I also told him that every Sunday I'm actually, following up and always attend the church service online, just like my brother said. So always in touch. So good morning, everybody. Okay, I have, I don't know, why? Are they seeing the slides? Oh, they are seeing it? Oh, okay. Ah, the screen is not clear now. It's showing, but it's not showing it. Oh, it's showing. Oh, okay. Okay, I will talk from a finance perspective, because fortunately or unfortunately, this is where I find myself, and I've got to accept where God has put me. Okay, my presentation, like we normally do in my own industry, we have to do presentation and we follow the outline you've seen, And okay, next slide. Next slide. Okay, I think maybe we give my own definition of what Danton is. Sorry, let me just use my iPad. Okay. You know, when we say downturn, that means the economic situation is down. And everything slows down. And I mean everything. It can be specific, like only in Nigeria. And it can also be global, like we are facing right now. The economic downturn is not only affecting Nigeria today. Is affecting the whole world. In fact, the one that we actually have now is not the one we planned for. Because nobody could tell me December 31st, when we were all here shouting Happy New Year, that we would see what we are facing in terms of COVID today. So this, the global economic downturn, was not really planned for. And like my brother has also mentioned, it's just like Yoruba will say, awe, oba we nle ni, concerning Nigeria. Already we had recession, then the COVID issue came in. So that's double wahala for Sorry, I'm going to talk like, because I'm also youth in the art, so we're going to discuss generally as youth. Eh? Okay, next slide, please. So when we have downturn, what do we see? Increase in unemployment, as we see right now, even in America, is worse. In Nigeria, it's really bad. We have very high inflation rates. What does that mean? Inflation, if I'm buying something for 10 naira before, the cost of food is 10 naira. Now, I have to buy at 30 naira. That is what is also happening right now. Again, there's going to be increase in crime rates. I want you guys to know that. Because survivor. Some people believe that they have to survive negatively. That will not be our own portion. But I want you to just be aware that there's going to be increase in crime rates. Very important. There will be reduction in disposable income. What do I mean by disposable income? That is the amount of money left from my income that can use to purchase things, to spend on money, to spend on food, to spend on health. The money left in my pocket or my account to buy things for my survival. So there's going to be serious reduction. And reduction in government revenue, of course. When there's reduction in government revenue, it's going to also affect us, because when government does not pay and does not spend money in Nigeria, it doesn't trickle down. And like my brother also mentioned, we have a government, I'm sorry to say, that we don't even know what we are doing right now. So that's if it's double wahala again. Reduction in government revenue and reduction in disposable income. There's also reduction in salary too, because some of us, many people, they have to accept reduction in salary, you know. And thank God, last week, I heard a man talking to us on health, mental health. It's very important. The last thing I put there is, there might be increase in suicide rate. Because some people will say, oh, where am I living? So I like the approach of this church. No matter how local we are, you guys think you are local. Right now, this church is, to me, is international. Because we take things that are actually very meaningful to our survival. Many churches are not discussing what we are discussing. So I give kudos to the leadership of this local church. Next slide, please. Okay. I think I've spoken about this. We see the great lockdown, 2020, the COVID, so many things, you know. And next slide, I think I've also spoken about, let me just quickly run through the impact of this lockdown. We have disruptions in global economy causing many countries to slip into recession. We've spoken about recession, and I've explained what recession means. Rise in poverty level, loss of jobs, bankruptcy of business. He mentioned something earlier on that he borrowed money. Thank God he didn't borrow more than he borrowed at that time. Then the business he thought would thrive started having challenges. You know, bankruptcy, many businesses will fail, especially the SME, small, medium, enterprise, all these ones that we do. Even multinationals are failing. If you go through the financial reports of so many companies nowadays, it's always negative. Go and check the financial reports of even as big as Unilever. So bankruptcy of businesses. I've mentioned this before, increased in crime rates, increased mental health challenges. I want you people to please note that, like I said, thank God we took it up here last Sunday. You know, the positive side of it is increased bonding time for families.
is it not when I have money to go to Bear Parlor, I will go to Bear Parlor. I will stay with my family. I will say, my wife, please cook fish. Let's stay together. So, I mean, lockdown also has its own positive effect. At least it makes family to bond together. Let me tell you something. Jaka also mentioned something earlier on. Is it Jaka or my brother that when a man is angry unnecessarily, it's because he doesn't have money. I learned something many years ago that when a man does not have money, he becomes a philosopher. And that is when you know that actually care is better than Mercedes Benz. That is when you will know that walking 20, 30 kilometers is better than actually having a car. You just automatically become, you become a philosopher because there is no money. So, next slide. Survivor. We discussed, so permit me, you know, this is my youth in my office. They were the one that prepared my slide for me. So, you see some semblance of what goes on in their minds, you know. So, end SARS. The protest. We can't just overlook it. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's the beginning of new thing happening in Nigeria. But what cost is, if everybody was happy, there'd be no protest. Recession. Anger. Anger. And what happened? Many businesses were affected. You go to shopping malls, they destroyed. My office, they went to one of our branches. They took ATM machine. The old ATM machine taken away. So, those are the kind of things we see during downtime. However, next slide, please. The good news is, I also learned this very long time ago. Tough times don't last. However, tough people do what? Tough people do last. No condition is permanent. That's the truth. So, when things are up, when you are enjoying today, please note that it will never last. Whatever you do, when you have excess, will be that particular thing that will help you to survive when the downtime comes. And when downtime, when you are also down, whatever you do will also help you to rebound. So, tough time doesn't last, but tough people actually do. So, my own survival strategies during economic downtime. Still healthy. We need to stay healthy. It is when you are alive, you actually know what is economic downturn. It is when you are alive that you actually know what is happening in your environment. One of the courses, the best courses I've ever gone for in my life, is the local course at Sagamu by Dr. Adiola. It's also on healthy living. The man asked all of us in the room what we wanted to be in life. Of course, all of us, we wrote it down. I wanted to be chairman. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. We submitted it like we are submitting our questions now. After all we've submitted, the man didn't even go through it. But he said, thank God for what you really want to be. However, if you have health challenge or your ambition, you just see somewhere, you will just be flying out of the window, just be walking away from you. Because at that particular moment, what matters to you is what? It's to be healthy. So the first thing I would tell you people, my family here, stay healthy. To stay healthy doesn't also cost so much. You eat very well, Do light exercise. I always tell grandma that lives in that house. What's the name of that grandma? Eh?
Eh? Odunuga.
Olunuga. Okay, I love that, mama. You know, anytime I went to her, I said, mama, do just live, stay one, at a place. So just walk around in his compound. I said, how mommy, morning, no matter how small, please, let's exercise our bodies. It's very, very important to stay healthy. That is number one thing for me. Number two, you create a budget and stick to it. I think Dave mentioned something like that. It is very important. Frivolous spending is not there anymore. I wonder some of our ladies, they still wear wigs of 500,000 naira, 100,000 naira. Yesterday, my wife told me, I wanted to go and plait my hair. You are coming up. That is it. No more those kind of things. You have to create a budget and live with it. If you are doing things to satisfy others, you're not going to last. You're not going to make it in life. If all I do, I want to dress so that people will say, hey, wow. It is to your own disadvantage because it has no meaning to people, actually. So you have to cut a budget. Frivolous spending, like Brother Jakar said, you have to spend money because you have to. So you have to separate needs from wants. I don't know, people that studied economics, you know, there are some things we call wants. There's something we call needs. Need is more important than wants. Okay, I want a wristwatch. One day, I was wearing one wristwatch that I bought many years ago when I don't have money anymore now because economic downturn. I looked at the watch and at the price. Who will know how much I bought this? Who knows how much I bought this rewatch, for goodness sake? Who cares? Who cares? So if I have money, you think I'll go and buy a wristwatch of $1 million? You know? So we need to just think of, creating a budget and you live with it. If you have extra things, there's no point having 4, 5, 6 cars in your compound as of today. Sell! Because I'm still going to come to it. Cash is king. You sell. This car I brought to church today is on for sale now. It's for sale. I'm looking for a good price for it. I will sell and I'll keep my cash waiting for opportunity, you know, to invest that money. Because at the end of the day, when everything is done, there'll be so many opportunities. I've said it here before. No matter how bad economy is, people still make money. You just look for the opportunities. One of my bosses told me, when people die, when families are crying, some people are making money. So please, we need to create, parties, one of the most terrible things we have Southwest here is parties. Do you know some people will go and borrow money to do burial? To Ashoebi? Frivolous spending, that will not make us to bounce back during economic downturn. Okay, focus on essentials. Cut non-essentials. I've mentioned this before. Frivolous spending. You need to be able to separate needs from wants. I want to do party. I want to pay school fees. Which one is want? Which one is need? I can do without party, but won't I pay my children's school fees? That is the need, because we also need to invest in our children. Many parents, if you don't invest in your children, you are actually destroying your tomorrow. If you can't borrow to send your children to school, but you can borrow to do parties, you are actually destroying your tomorrow.
Okay, this one might not be popular here. I say avoid foreign exchange related expenses. Because of foreign exchange, high foreign exchange rates now, as at December, Naira was being changed, dollar was being changed to dollar at 360. I was buying dollar at 360, 359, 358 cash dollar actually. Today, dollar is being changed for 465 naira. One of our last meetings I had here, I mentioned it to you people. I said, if you can save in FX, save. I mentioned it. I don't know who caught that revelation that time. Now I'm talking like a pastor, revelation. I'm not one. You know, if you had saved, you had your money at 360. You got it. If you had saved at that 360, today is 465. Even if you don't have money, I want to sell $100. I bought it at $100 would be, let's say, 36,000 naira. Now, I will get almost 47,000 naira. There are some people also, they have expenses in dollars. Some of us, we have expenses in dollars. And I hate naira. We are going through hell. It's very difficult. Please avoid foreign exchange related things if you can avoid it. I've mentioned this before, there's going to be crime. I said be security conscious. It happened. Even during the demonstration when the, what's it called, took over, the looters. We have to be security conscious. When I was coming today, you know, that mental health. When I was coming today, someone parked in front, on the road, if I on that street, was trying to buy something, maybe recharge card. And he parked in the middle of the road. Femi, before, would have said, what is happening? Okay, are you moving away? I'm going to church because I'm almost late. But because I quickly realized that this period that we have, everybody on the road is crazy. Everybody. So I have to just calm myself down, Femi. You don't know what is going through his mind. Just calm down. And he finished, he moved, and I moved. That is the way we're going to be operating going forward. If not, two wrongs can never make a right. Develop complementary skills. Well, we have so many talents in Nigeria, especially our youth. Very talented people. But how are we using these talents? I mean, that's left to guys like you to actually bring the best out of our people. The guy that sold pay stack was at our retreat. Last year, November, very unassuming boy. He came with jeans, slippers, and he addressed us for like 30 minutes on what he was doing. Last month, he sold his business for $280 million. This boy will be in his early 30s. That guy worth 80 billion naira minimum. Using his talents. We have such people in our midst. But how well are we using these talents? Instead of using the talents positively, many of our youth, they use these talents negatively. I just mentioned an example to you. A very young man worth more than 80 billion naira asset last month. I forgot the name of the guy. It's a Yoruba guy. Went to Osu. Very young guy. I'm sure the youth in this room will know about what I'm talking about. Or don't you? He's a guy. There's no special thing about him. He just decided to use the skill, his talent, positively. Please, let's develop complementary skills. If I'm doing this, there's so many other things we can actually do today. And it's very important. Like I said, I'm addressing you not as a politician, as a banker. This is where I find myself. And that's why you can hear FX, And one of the things that this, my brother, you know, we always argue. If you owe money, pay your money home. Pay. As a banker, because it affects your character. It's one of these, it's called the C6C of credit. Character is one of the C. Please, oh, pay your money if you owe. If you owe me, don't pay me nowadays. I'm an Egyptian man, I will come to you and, you know. Okay, avoid the opportunistic investment schemes. If it's Nancy, Sogun Dogoji, is that what they call it in Yoruba? Eh? Please avoid this. So many schemes to come up. Oh, you can invest ₦1, you get ₦100. It's not investment is not about magic. By the time you do such a thing, the money you don't have, of course, you lose it. So please avoid opportunistic investments. As employees, we that were employees, we also need to understand what our employers are going through. Things are really rough. We take pay cuts, do so many things, and we still be loyal to your organization. And as employers too, remain emphatic to employees. Because if they are loyal to you, treat them well. I mean, understand what they also go through. As they are trying to understand what your employer is going through, you have to treat your employee very well. Don't say because there is trouble in the land, you treat them shabbily. It will come back to you. And to the church, what are we doing to actually develop the skill of our church members? Investments we make today will reap tomorrow. Investments we do not make today will be forever lost. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sirs, for your amazing presentations. We'll now be moving to the question and answer session. And to start, we have collected some questions from the audience, and I'll be asking the questions. The modalities for this is every question you answer, you have 1 minute to answer the question. So the first question is, if one wants to start a business now, what steps should be taken? I'll be directing this to our brother.
Okay, to me. All right. First, I'll say it depends on the kind of business you want to do. For me, I'm into multimedia, so I integrate printing, photography, and everything multimedia together so that we are just one stop point for your multimedia needs. So at this moment, most of the things we do are presently online because of the challenges around. So if somebody is saying they want to go into multimedia, the advice I would give is that they should look at the online niche, because even for Nigeria, people are scared of moving around, going out, doing things. So you can really reach people online, whatever business you are doing that has to do with this kind of thing. For example, but then if you are into a business like, say, food, one of the things I would advise you to do is that you should look at having delivery services. Because these days, people too, because of the challenges around, people don't really want to move around. For example, anything from between 5 and 6, I want to be in my house. So what if I'm hungry at night and I need food? So those who are into that business should look at delivery service. So what you should look at is, before you start, you need to do your own research, both online. As I'm writing now, as I was speaking, I just wrote down something, a business strategy that came to me. I won't say it now, but which is very good. But one of the things I would say is, for example, do online survey. You understand? So it will help you. It's free. You can go to Google. You do an online survey about your business. Because for you to be going around to people, you may not be able to know how many. But so you can do that online survey. From doing that, it will help you to have an idea of the needs of people and how you should meet them. So I would say research, then know your niche, then 3, act on the outcome you get. So
thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Let me add to what he just said. The kind of business you do, the first thing you should do is, what is the need in your environment you want to meet? That's why you actually do well in business. If I go to go and make shoes where people don't wear shoes, I can't make it. I look at it around me. What do people need most of the time? We must eat. Clothing. Education. So if you want to really want to go into business, you need to know what is the need around you. There must be a need that you want to meet. That's when your business will thrive. Secondly, opportunities. He mentioned about delivery system now. You remember when Lagos State government banned Okada? The Go-Kada people, everybody was crying. They were shouting. Fortunately for them, COVID came. Go-Kada, many of them, turned their business to delivery. Opportunities come every day. But you need to have something. Cash is king. If you don't have what it takes, you know, to tap into that opportunity, you can never be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Our next question says, financial analysts state that the way out of a recession. Okay, you'd like
so
to answer?
Quickly, yeah,
okay.
I just want to quickly add something. Yeah, one thing you must also consider when you want to do business is to first of all evaluate yourself. Appraise yourself. Because there's no way a square peg will go into a round hole. You must define who you are. Who you are also defines the business that will interest you. Because to mention contrary currency, you might not necessarily succeed. One calling back on one out of the carpenter to the tailor, you will mess it up. So do self-assessment. Just in addition to what you said, do a self-assessment of who you are, define the needs of your environment, then you can move on from there. But if you don't define who you are, and how does it, or what impact will be made into that business interest, it's not likely that you will succeed. So you must learn to define who you are. You can't be a doctor if you don't study, or if you don't like reading. To battle a crime, to battle crime, because innovations come every day. So if you are the reading type, yes, you will succeed as a business, but I mean as a doctor. If you are the reading type, you will succeed as a lawyer. If you don't like reading, don't do law. Our part is quite all right. You will never move on because we hate reading. But if we enjoy reading, then go, be a lawyer, be something else, because all these things come up. New cases, new theories come up. So you must also define who you are. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Our next question says, financial analysts say that the way out of a recession is to spend so as to stimulate the economy, like we have in the U.S. where they're sending stimulus checks to their citizens. So when those who have money decide not to spend it, how can we stimulate the economy? What are the things that we can do? That's to for any American.
I was just going to say that. The only person who stimulates the economy is the government. You understand? And when I was talking the other time, I said, when the government decides to take all the money to the central bank, then we started having issues. Because the banks have no money to give us loans, they have no money to give us credit, there was just nothing. And money is like engine oil, like the petrol. If it stops, the car stops. So if there's no money in the economy, there's just no money in the economy. Then we now start having that recession that I said. Yeah. So the only person that can stimulate the economy is the government. They pump in the money.
Okay.
All right. Now, something, when he said that, something came to me because, like he said, that challenge is on and now. It's more like there is, many people are not liquid. There is no cash. One of the things I have learned, because right even in this period, I was still able to get some money to do some business. I have friends who were able to get some money to do some business. Now, there are some opportunities around, online, offline. One, open your eyes and your ears. What do you do, especially for youth now? What do you do with your phone? It's just to check every day, Google and ask opportunities. Because there are those who have money that are trying to, they don't want to keep it also, but they are hiding it under organizations to push it out so that in a way to come back to them. Then secondly, personally, I believe one of the best ways to get money, especially if it's not from bank, from people, is what value are you adding to people? What value? Somebody was able to give me over ₦1 million to do a business without much interest per se because of trust. And during the economic, that was what I was actually sharing. And during the economic downturn, I couldn't really pay, but thank God the person knew who I, if it had been, and the person gave because there was a time I got a small loan, I paid
during the time. So the person had confidence to give me another one. How many of you now can walk up to somebody and say, borrow me 5,000? Because yesterday you did not return the 1,000 because the person is your pastor or is your brother in the Lord. I'm telling you, that happens in church. And I tell you, you go and borrow money, Christian brother, and then you do not return. In this kind of period, nobody will borrow you anything because they know you will not repay. So I think you should also build trust. Then even when there is challenge in the economy, people can still say, this brother, I know he's going to pay back.
Thank you very much.
Okay, from the banking perspective, banks as of today are looking for opportunities to invest. So if you have good business proposal, T-bills that was at 18%, 21%, as of Friday, was 0.4%. So banks are looking for opportunity to also invest nowadays. If you have good business proposal, go to your banks. They will look at it because they are actually also very desperate to invest. Another thing is, to, even to individual, if you have many if you have good business proposal, there are some people, individual, that are willing to invest in you, like he just mentioned. But character also is very important. He has said it all. Yesterday you came to me and said, oh, please give me 10,000 naira. Till today, if not paid this, can you come back to me? So let's build our character. There are opportunities, even in the time of crisis. Thank you.
And let me quickly add, join politics, join PDP. We spend the money. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And in answering that, you also answered a question that we have here saying, if a person wants to start a business and has a budget, or a proposal, but the capital is not enough, and the business is short to yield a lot of profit, what's the person to do? So you already answered by saying, yes, prepare a proposal.
If it's a good business, not all business proposals are bankable, let me put it that way. You might have your own idea, but if it's not bankable, it might appeal to you, but might not appeal to others. So if it appeals to others, I tell you, people invest in it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me quickly add to that, especially the youth. The youth find it so easy to form a friendship of 5, 6, 10 of them when it comes to parties, when it comes to other stuff. But I've never seen youth that come together, 4, 5 of them, and say, look, Oremi, my new idea about it. You can fit into this, you can fit into the admin, you can fit into the operation that Bill Gates started. You know, I said, Bill Gates, this Zuckerberg, how they call it?
Mark.
Yeah, he called his friends when he wanted to start Facebook. I said he called about 6 or 7 of them. He said, this is my idea. You are good at software, you are good at this, you are good at that. Of the 6, one said it was impossible. Yeah, well, this is somebody who says it's impossible. So once you start joining brains together and resources together, you make your money, you move, the business will move. Like we were taught during the quality training, quality management, those days. They said, for any quality decision, for any quality idea, don't let money or cost be the deciding factor. Always look for people that share that same dream with you. The banks are there. Now, there's no role anyhow more. So they are begging people to come and take money. Even when you go there, I said, they won't give you. You still ask for your mother, dead mother's certificate.
No condition is permanent, brother. Okay, let me say something to you. Even as a church, are you aware that even this, our local church, we have a finance fund for business? Are you aware? Are you aware? Sister Pelumi is in charge. Many people that I'm looking at their faces, they've taken out of that fund. They are not returning the fund. And the fund is at zero interest. It's a church. What do we say? We have a fund to make people's life better. Come and access it free of charge. They will take the money, they will not bring it back. How do we succeed? Thank you.
Yeah, I need to add something, please. You see, Brother Akerusi is coming from the organized sector that is leading with a lot of moralities. You understand that everything is, the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. They are well regulated, they are well organized. But unfortunately, the society that we live in, they don't cross the T's and they don't dot the I's. We operate more like a jungle. That's why sometimes his views and my own are different. Not because I don't share their moral values, I don't share their organization skills, I don't share all this. I believe in all these things because I went through that sector. I left the industry as the chief accountant of Panalpina in Nigeria, so I understand the organized sector very well. But when you come to the disorganized sector, when you come to the jungle that we all are in, when you come to the streets, I was born in Shomolu, educated in Shomolu, lived all my life in Shomolu. You understand? I grew up in the market, Alade market, because my mother was a Yaoloja. So I understand these basic immoral values to survive. I do not, when I was saying hold the cash, it was because of the season. Not that when you hold people, you shouldn't pay, no. I ran the Jackal business, which was a finance company, successfully for 12 years. You dare not owe us. But there are times in life that owing or holding the cash becomes no other choice. Let me just give you a typical example that people go through. Maybe Brother Cables will understand it. Because the people in the air-conditioned offices, they don't understand what the markets that are in the sun are going through. If I owe, say, Reverend Lolu Adekwe, let me use him. If I owe him 2 million out of business trade, and me, I have creditors too. I mean, I have debtors, say like 10 million. I'm owing you 2 million. The stock in my shop is almost gone. I don't have anything to sell. Most of the time, I don't even want to go to shop again. Then I now have some of my own debtors. For whatever reason, decides to give me 2 million. I'm owing Reverend Oluwadipo 2 million. The minute I collect that 2 million from one of my debtors, who for God's reason decides to give me, after holding my money for so long, and I take the 2 million, and I go and pay Reverend Oluwadipo the 2 million that I'm owing him. I can't open the shop again. You understand what I'm saying? Those are the immoral values in business. That's why the business Ojateria is a jungle. Yes, somebody just paid me 2 million out of the 10 million they are owing me. I'm owing Reverend Oluwadipo 2 million. So if I collect the 2 million that somebody paid me, if I give it to Oluwadipo, I will still sit down at home. I'm not going to do anything. So I would rather want to stay in business, believing strongly that I will pay Oluwadipo. I might go to him and start renegotiating my payment with him. Oga, because you really you. I just can renegotiate. That is the immoral part of business. Office, organized sector do not tolerate immorality. They don't tolerate it. They work on integrity, trust, and all these things. Yes, it is fine. I believe in all that too. But once you are in the jungle, you want to survive. I'm talking strictly as a businessman who even did business in Aba. I had the Jackal office in local popular market, Ariara. I was in Ariara market. I was dealing with the Igbos. I understand business. Not that you want to be a bad man, but you want to survive. The people who are owing the church, you should have it in your mind to pay or you negotiate with the coordinator. Not paying is bad. You understand? Because once you stop paying, you are not going to help the others to get this fund. And don't take money. Like I said, take money in things that you can afford to do. Not afford in terms of money, that your strength, you have the capability to do. Don't do other people's business. Do your business. I always believed in the concept of MYB. Even when I was addressing the Abatech, I was talking, teaching my teachers the concept of MYB. And what is MYB? Mind your business. The only way to survive, to keep your business, is to mind your business. The day you stop minding your business, you are going to be in trouble. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, so our time is fast spent, and I really want to appreciate everybody, you know, that has come here to share with us today. We have a few minutes left, and I have a few questions. So what I will do is to direct your questions to you, and then you will answer them. Then I move to the next person, direct the questions to you, and then you will answer them. So if you have any other contributions or any question, you can give them during your closing remark. Do we understand? Thank you very much. So I will direct the first two questions to Pastor Deji. We have somebody that asked, if we must focus on essentials during this period, three of you spoke on it, that we must focus on essentials and not just spending money anyhow. So this person wants to understand, is tithing an essential?
The what? The
tithing. Is it an essential?
Tithing. Tithing. To give tithe.
Yes,
yes, for us as Christians. Now, we have been able to break, and I'm sure it's been taught here, that it is not a law. You understand? So, knowing that it is not a law that, oh, if you don't do this, you won't go to heaven or not. That's another teaching on another level. But I would talk from a subjective point of view so that I don't raise some. So personally for me, it's an essential, because for me, in a way, as a businessman, through experience, as a Christian, as a pastor, for me, it's an essential. I tell you, I pay my tithe even during COVID, because I believe God gave me the money. And let me tell you something. It's in a way of teaching you investment, like what he was saying. If you can pay your tithe, I tell you, you will be disciplined to know how to spend money on essentials and non-essentials. My mother taught me, if you cannot save 1 naira from 10 naira, you cannot save 10 naira from 100 naira. That guided my life. And I tell you, personally, I do that. But on your own, I don't know. But personally, from my own experience, from studies of the scriptures, I believe it's an essential, and I do it, yes.
The second question that was directed to you is, at the beginning, you told us to be equipped, be creative. So somebody wants to understand, when you say be equipped, are you saying I should go for a professional course that I can afford to right now? Or should I borrow to go for a professional course right now? Should I go and get married so that I have somebody to share half of the bills with? Should I go and learn a skill? So when you say be equipped and be creative, quickly just summarize,
okay,
what do you mean?
Let me just summarize what I mean. Now, let me say this point. Knowledge is not power. Yes. Knowledge is not power. It is knowledge that is used that is power. You are not different from somebody who don't know if you know and you don't do. So, what I mean by being equipped is, when you are aware of the challenges around you, what are the things you need to know that will help you, that you will now do to give you a leverage over others? So, that is what being equipped is all about. Then, it now leads to, even though you now know, how do you now apply that? We call it wisdom in the church, but in business we say creativity. Knowing how to use your skills to get what you want. I tell you, nothing is new. We only recycle things. I tell you, we only recycle things. Nothing is new in its sense. Everything we do is just that we come up with new ways of doing them. When I talk about online business, everything going on online, where the things we are doing offline before, somebody wants to buy something, somebody wants to pay money, somebody wants to withdraw. Just that instead of not doing it on the physical level, we take it off so that it will be easier for people. So you now need to equip yourself to leverage. For example, if you want to go into digital marketing, you want to take your business online, how do you do that if you don't even have an idea about it? So it may mean for somebody to go for a training. It may mean for another person to improve on what they have already known. It may even mean for another person to travel out of the country. And it may mean for another person to leave Lagos and go to their village. So you now need to now sit down and analyze the situation. Like, let me round up with, like, it says something talking about needs. First, in this business, this creativity, what are the needs I want to meet? Then secondly, talked about passion. That is key. When he was saying in my heart was, I told you, I started a business one time because of money. I told you, there is money in that business. But because I didn't have passion, when the challenges of that business came, I wasn't really making it. But I tell you, in my business, for some months, there were people that are still owing me. But I won't lie to you, I have not stopped my business because I love it. I love to sit on my system designing. I love to enter Shomolu, follow up on my printing process. I love to
you know, do things around my business. Aside, so when I'm not paid, when there are challenges, I can still scale through. So those are the things that surround what I'm saying. I hope I really answered that question.
Okay. So I said, thank you very much, Pastor Deji. So I'll be moving to Mr. Oshibemeku now. So we have two questions for you. Quickly, somebody just wants to know, you said there's an age for us to stop working. So what exactly is that age where you should stop working? Then the second one is, I know now somebody said we should, you know, youth should not be lazy. You should go and become professional tailors, etc. And then we also know that there are government opportunities like End Power, Trader Money, and every kind of money. So as youths in the church or business people in the church, are you also supposed to partake of those government opportunities?
Let me take the first one. The first has to do with age where you have to stop working. I'm going to teach something this morning. When I was growing up, I was taught the three stages of survival in life. Or they call it the forces of survival. The first one is age 0 to 25. That's the age where you have to be age of where you depend on your parents. I'll remember them all now. Age where you are entitled to everything. Age where you have the right to ask your father, your mother, your uncles, your aunties to give you money to help you, to send you to school, to buy you clothes. You understand? Age where your desire for things, you understand? You can lay it on your family, on your friends. I mean, on your people. 0 to 25. Because it is believed by the age 25, you should be done with school. In fact, by 25, you should be done work. I mean, you should start living independent of your people. It is the age where you must know that on your 25th birthday, if not earlier, you should be prepared to face the world. From age 25 to 40, it is called age of the age where you have to struggle for everything. It is called the age of confrontation. The age where you have to confront the world and grab as much as you can for yourself. Age where your idle time is zero. Age where if there's a need for you to work 4 or 5 times a day, a week. Age where your streams of income must be more than 2, 3. You must learn to make money every day. You must learn to make money every week. You must learn to make money every month. And you must learn to make money as annually. And the fifth one, you must learn to make money as regularly as possible. Then from 40, on your 40th birthday, you should be able to sit down and ask yourself, how much have you gathered? If you have gathered so much by 40, then your life begins at 40. That's where it came from. If unfortunately you have not gathered enough for 40, then your foolishness starts at 40. Because a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Then from 40 to 50, it is called the age of consolidation. Let me tell you why it is important to consolidate. Life is like a casino. The only person that wins the casino is the casino mouse, is the house. Am I not going to only? Because whoever wins, whoever loses, Onile does not lose. The house never loses. So by age 40, whatever you have been dealt with, you must learn to start consolidating them. And how do you consolidate? You can define your form of consolidation. You can consolidate in properties. You can consolidate in stock, shares. You can even consolidate in other people's brain. You can consolidate in other people's time. Because as much as you consolidate, will determine your 50 to life. And that's the age where they call the age of compensation. Age where your consolidation is now reaping back. If you are consolidating on your children, then you start, am I jail one more? If you are consolidating on your properties, what better is in their rent? If you have consolidated on stock and shares, what better is in by dividends? Age where you sleep when you want to sleep and you wake up when you want to wake up. That is the age of retirement. Age where nothing bothers you anymore. Age, whatever you have been able to make, you can't all be Dangotes. But we should be able to earn income such that nothing shocks us anymore. And for the youth, I quickly need to add this. A lot of people keep asking me, they got business with Nimashi, like my younger brother was trying to talk. And when I was trying to define it, I was saying, you need to do what? You need to evaluate yourself. There's a concept we call the DDD concept. Nobody will teach you this in school. But we on the streets understand DDD. And what is DDD? Define who you are. Discover who you are. It is a part of the first D. Discover yourself. Discover your skill. Discover the passion that rages inside of you.
Thank you very much, sir.
I said DDD. You have only last one.
Sir? Yes, the second question.
That's the first D. Discover who you are. It will define the business that you will do. In discovering who you are, you will identify your skills and talents. Then the second D, you understand, is to start developing that skill. If the skill is learning, then make sure that you are learning. If you want to be a teacher, that you love to teach people, then read. If you want to be a footballer, when I was asking the audience in Jabatek, I said, Kanu is one of the richest people in this world. Iwe Woloka. Kanu is just a footballer. And that's the skill that he discovered. And that's the skill that he developed. And what is the last D? Start dealing with it. Dealing means start using that skill to make your life better. It is called the DDD concept. Define who you are, develop who you are, and start dealing with who you are. And at the end of the day, when you discover and you start dealing, then do what? Mind your business. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. So I'll be moving to Brother Akeusi. So I have a question here. Well, I have two questions, but the second question has already been answered over and over again. But what I would just need you to do is to just iterate, just list, that is all, to just iterate and highlight. That is all this person needs. So the first question is, inflation is currently about 13.7%, meaning that the value of our money will still erode, even in most of the investment outlets available. Do you have any advice for us on how to increase or maintain the value of our money? I think those are for people that have investments running already. Then the second one is, from your experience and exposure, what businesses thrive during a recession? I know somebody already mentioned food and drugs, so are there other businesses that thrive during a recession? And what can you do with your money right now because of inflation rates?
Okay, what can you do with your money right now? Me. I think entrepreneurship would be what I would suggest. Like I said, you said inflation rate is 13.7. I tell you, by next month, it should be more than that. And for you to have such investments that will give you the rate of inflation today, it's not on monetary investments. You want to invest in T-bills,
You want to put your money as deposit in the bank? I doubt it. But if you carefully look at your environment, you see something that you can invest on, like food, like clothing, like even technology. I just mentioned to someone that sold his business for $280 million. I think in your environment, you have a lot. I'm a very conservative person. I've said it here before. I can't invest in shares because I want to live long. It's not today, it goes up. Tomorrow, it comes down. I can't be checking newspaper every day. No, I'm a very conservative person. What I do with my own money right now, I don't have savings. All the investments I have now is school fees, which is huge. So parents, that you have money, do not neglect payment of your children's school fees. Don't say you want to do this so that you will not pay their school fees. I've said it before, if you don't invest in your children, you are destroying your tomorrow. Thank you.
Don't be scared of shares. Good news. My wife just passed her stock exchange exam, stockbroker's exam. So you have a good stockbroker in the house. She will tell you when to buy your stocks and she will tell you when to sell. So Balumi just passed. She's now a chartered stockbroker.
Thank you very much.
That's our time today. It's been a very enlightening session. We're so glad to have had you. Thank you for coming and sharing your knowledge. Thank you, church, for your questions.
Round of applause for all of them.